We do have a couple more minutes with Annette Gordon-Reed, Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon. I have to confess that you tell me that you're going to tell me the rest of the story, and you do, and I kept wondering, are these Hemingses? And I thank you very much for having the front and back cover, the genealogy. I never would have found my way through that.
If only Faulkner had done that.
Well, people have tried to do that in some editions of it.
I actually did it once. I
was curious, getting to the very present, as we talk about, let's stop lying about these things. Mm-hmm. Let's get real. As Richard Rodriguez says in Brown, people fall in love, and whether it's love or coercion or whatever, sex happens mm-hmm. among humans, mm-hmm. and it has consequences. And family happens, as you so poignantly tell us. Sally got something very special for a woman that she had a good life in a constrained way, and her children were free by the end of this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people have asked me, well, how are we supposed to think about Sally Hemings? I mean, Sally Hemings is not Harriet Tubman. I mean, she's not the Moses of our people or Sojourner Truth, but she was a mother who saw her children free and to get to begin their lives as free people 40 years before other African Americans were freed. And I think that and we tend to think of, and I say it in the book, resistance in very male terms. We look at males' lives and how they resist systems. You kill people. You fight. I mean, not to say there's anything wrong with fighting for your freedom, but women have other concerns because women have children. And that complicates their lives in ways that have made women think about the world in different ways at times. Not to say that they're not women who want to fight and kill too, but for the most part, the responsibility for children shaped enslaved women's lives. And so it's, I think, important to think of her in that, operating in that world as a mother and as a family member, because those were the primary relationships that women, enslaved women had. Enslaved men had, even within the constraints of slavery, traveled more. They were seen as, more prime movers than women. And so that's the important thing, the takeaway from her life, is that she was successful in a role that was very important to her.
And she didn't know that 40 years later, the enslaved
exactly.
phenomenon would go away.
Yeah, well, that's the historians, we have the benefit of hindsight. And at that moment, people are making decisions based upon what they think is the best that they can achieve at the time. And she had no way of knowing what was going to happen.
Are there Hemingses alive today?
Oh, there are many Hemingses alive today. I've met some of them and met a number of them. And they're wonderful people. They're people who've kept their story, their family story alive over the generations. More focused, interesting enough, on her. Don't really talk very much about him. But they're interested in, again, the most immediate kinds of things, their family, and we talk generally about what's going on today, the election or whatever, but not necessarily the past.
You have studied and probed and researched and thought about and written about the relationship between Jefferson and Sally Hemings, Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. Have you ever had a sense that you could break through into what the nature of that relationship was?
Not exactly, because we don't have letters from either one of them about this. And even when you have letters, you really don't know what's going on between a man and a woman.
It's an evidence. It's not.
Yeah, it's not. You know, it's not. You know, you don't have that. They may not know. I've said that the way I explain it is, I just don't think it's possible. It's likely that someone would have, from his standpoint, a purely sexual interest in someone for any substantial length of time. I mean, that's not, lust is not what keeps people together after a certain point. There must be some other kind of connection. And this is a connection. If you just go by the range of her childbearing, we're talking 20 years here. I mean, but certainly as his chambermaid. And the other thing is, you typically don't, if a person is sort of in this sort of a casual relationship with someone, it's not like you want that person in your life every day. And she would have been in his life every day as his chambermaid. Her children are named for people who were important to him. If you put their names, intermix them with his grandchildren's names, you wouldn't know who was whom because they all fit. They all make sense. So from his perspective, there must have been some attachment. Whether I call that, you know, love in the sense that we know it, I mean, I don't know, but I have no problem saying that he was attached to her. The other question is, I mean, she seems to have been a completely lovable person. I wouldn't know why that would not be a possibility, certainly a possibility. From her perspective, you know, as I said, once she comes back to America, she's under his control. I do say at the end, the only gesture that she makes is to take some of his possessions with her when she leaves Monticello. Eyeglasses, shoe buckles, because Monticello, everything was sold at Monticello because he lost everything. And she gives them to her children, which suggests to me that this was something that she wanted them to remember. And so those are just fragments of things. But certainly the most you can say is that this was something that was over a long period of time. And it's not like the kind of the main type of sort of exploitative things that you think of when you think of master-slave relationships. But again, I don't know how he felt. I mean, I believe he loved his wife, and I'm sure he loved his wife, but I don't know. We don't have, all of it is a mystery because so many of these people are, I mean, Sally Hemings and her sister are pretty much ciphers in all of this. But that's the best that I can say.
And you can say that it was a family.
Absolutely.
An American family.
And thank you for doing so at considerable eloquent length.
Thank you for having me here. Thanks.
Annette Gordon Reed has added new dimensions to people long hidden in the historical shadows and to others whom we thought we knew. Perhaps she's also succeeded in making us more empathetic. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.